Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
So I know many people here work multiplying matrices and like doing a lot of polynomials day in, day out. But I think my talk is going to be a little higher level on like how programmable cryptography can solve one of the, I would say, most important use cases for our space and in general, like society, which is like private identities. And this product vision, it will be more like a high level overview about what characteristics do we want and some sort of approaches that we have been seeing in the space. Trying to solve these issues. So as we are in Thailand, I thought it was great to start with an analogy of this blind man elephant illustration, because this is the land of the white elephants. I think people who are inside the identity space, we kind of like see a lot of acronyms thrown everywhere, like DAD, POD, SSI, and those are these ideas like self-sovereign identities, verifiable credentials, decentralized identities, those are all useful and have nuances, but at the end it has some core properties which I want to like explore in this talk. I'll say these are the properties that we care, and probably we can grow the list even more, and we can even make security assumptions models to understand how, like in which sense these properties we want to achieve. We want flexibility, we want verifiability, we want privacy, we want decentralization, self-ownership, transfership, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I would say if I were to sum it up to like the core properties that we really want to achieve with this are basically three actions that I think we should pursue and target with programmable cryptography in this identity space. First, and the ones bolded are things that a user will typically do in order to leverage private identities. One is the capacity to import all my identities and data into something, a container. Let's call it a wallet for now. The other one is to generate proofs or generate an artifact that then I can take and then prove an identity, an attribute, something about myself so that I can execute an action. So my proofs being useful elsewhere. So if we were to summarize like all the complexity that we have in these three kind of like steps and actions, it turns out that it's a bit easier to reason about like what type of like cryptography systems and targets do we want to achieve with programmable cryptography in identity. So the first section is let's import all. Let's import all my identities, my data. And what does that mean? It means that for all the documents and data that exists in the world in the digital space, anything that is signed, we should and want to target it to bring it to private identities cryptography use cases. And that means obvious things like your national ID card, your passport. There are great teams in here targeting that, but also driver licenses, signed documents, PDFs, credit card transactions. Maybe we can like leverage from WhatsApp, Telegram, Uber reputation, social graphs, Spotify history. There's all this signed data that I think we need to hijack and literally start adding into all of these containers that it can be called, it can have very different names. And we need to do that permissionlessly. That means without asking the national government to allow us to do that. We need to do that privately without them realizing that, because maybe you want to use it for things that the government doesn't approve or the Spotify or whoever. And we want to make that data verifiable. That's why CK, MPC-FHE, and other programmable cryptography technologies are so good. And we need to achieve a Web2 user experience in order for this to be useful and get adoption. And that means technically that we have a lot of challenges, that we need to support a lot of hashing mechanisms, a lot of signature schemes, a lot of data structures, standards. That means that we need to invent new things, like not only wrap things into CK, but also like 2PC and MPC, proxies, and have like wallet-like experiences if we really want to achieve this property. The other one is proof facts about them. And if we want to have a great user experience, then we need to generate proofs in useful ways, doing selective disclosure in things like less than 1 second in targets where our users are going to be. And that means browser in your laptop, but also browser in your phone, and also means native phone, like apps. And that means mobile side proving or client side proving is extremely important, which not every programmable cryptography project is targeting. And it needs to be very cheap or even free. It needs to be very easy for me as a non-technical user to leverage my data and import it and generate facts about it whenever a website or a platform queries and I respond to that. The other one, yeah, technically this means WASM, mobile proofing, small RAM memory, resort like low bandwidth environments. That means leveraging techniques like proof aggregation, recursion, folding, different verification layers, exploring things like CoSnarks in order to do delegate proofing, exploring things like proof composition, like, I don't know, client-side proving with one proofing system like Spartan, then aggregating on a CKVM, and then like proving on-chain with Graph 16. Those are kind of like the solutions that we're seeing because we want to have cheap, fast, composable proofs of our data. And lastly, we want to basically do very useful actions with that. And the most obvious candidates are voting, forums, chats, etc. But there are things that are popping up like, yeah, data syndicates, so data marketplaces, where a lot of people can just add up their data and then make charge, basically, to do statistic analysis on that private anonymized data. We can do reimbursements, compliance stuff, a lot of UX on Web3, like multisigs, account recovery, social recovery, are needed, like need identity. So I think that's where our solutions in this space are going to be extremely important. Humanitarian cases, anti-civil, etc. So yeah, basically we need to be able to do useful actions. And one of the biggest, I'll say, challenges is like nullifiers. The nullifiers is like a strong problem. I just listed different approaches and levels of like nullifiers where the government, basically no nullifier, that's the worst case. And best case is like, yeah, not even the government trying to collude will be able to, you know, see that you sign up for a really controversial service. So yeah, last things, this needs to be secure. Post-quantum is like a must-have now, because like in 5 years, you're doing voting and it gets like captured the data and then decrypted later. It could be a problem for you. It needs to be interoperable, no vendor lock-in. It needs to be movable from wallet to wallet. It needs to support key rotations, live checks, et cetera, et cetera. So these are some properties that we want to achieve, and I think we all in this space are trying to actively work on. So to finalize, I think the three key messages that I want you to take is like, first, let's hijack everything. Let's take all the data of identity sources and data sources and try to bring to our use case on-chain or off-chain. Let's try to discover novel use cases, like different interactions that we can unlock with this new data provenance things. And now let's build new Lego blocks to build a better future. Thanks.
Thank you, Andy. There's a question there. Oh, I did pretty well.
Thank you.
Good throw.
Yeah. Great to see the product perspective for once, and I really like the three stage components and product deals with human nature, right? So human nature usually runs on incentives. So if I give an example for the government gives you the right to drive a car,
yes.
So you have to get a driver license, therefore you have to get an identity.
Yes.
So it usually goes backwards, right, from 3 to 1. So I was wondering what are the cases that you've seen that the incentive is so big that you would then go and find an identity source. Because if you want to use this as an actual identity that people use, mm-hmm. they usually don't start with, wow, this is so private and it has like encrypted proof and hashes and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was wondering what do you see that has kind of grassroots in reality when can really bring the masses back to the platform, to platforms like this?
Okay, I think that's a great question. What I understood is like, what are places where we will search for identities or data where people are already there? I would say like, yeah, I will start with where are people there? Like, it's very hard for us to request to everyone to sign up to a system, but it will be way better if we just say like, yeah, all people are interested in driving a car in these locations. Let's just use that as a like source of starting point to bring their identity on-chain and to do actions on-chain and to do like voting and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, like I don't know, like anything that you sign up that has a digital signature, I think it would be great to just hijack it. And the more people use it, the more common they are, the more used to they are, like Face ID, Touch ID, all these secure enclaves, I think they're great to start to do that.
Just to follow on that, like the way I approach it, just to say it in a couple of words, we have a company called Grappa, and we use reputation, basically. So we're saying you want to prove your reputation, you want to say that you did something in life, you want to have some kind of attestation from somebody else that you are noteworthy in something. That's usually a start for an identity. That's usually, I want to prove this to the world, I start with that. That starts to be kind of the seed of my identity, and then I cannot forgo that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, great use case.
One question there.
Okay. I saw on your slide verifiable oblivious pseudo random functions.
Yes.
Where do you see it fitting in?
Yes, that's a technique that a couple of teams in the identity space are exploring. And I think it's great that they didn't get to all the technical details, but it's basically a network like MPC of nodes. And basically, how it does is like it calculates the salt with this like in an MPC fashion that is deterministic, but no node by themselves can calculate that salt for you. So I think this solves two really important problems. One is like using your private data and this salt generation process, which is deterministic, you can recover your account or you can recover your identity, even if you lose your phone or like your cache data. The other one is that, just like way better user experience. And the other one was that no government can calculate that unless, they tap into the, like, these process type, like private data. So and we can make these like very custom. So like you can choose like private data that only you know in your head, plus like private data that I don't know, it's verified in a credential. So in short, very strong for nullifiers and anti-discovery mechanisms.
Any more questions for Andy? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.